Luke 6:29, you don't need to turn there. It says, "From him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either." So I want to thank Mr. Messier for taking away my offertory this morning. I'm not entirely sure, but I think that means I owe him a cloak, which I don't happen to have. So my strategy is I'm going to take all of Brian Gale's verses. He'll owe me a tunic, and then I can give that to Renee. Shouldn't you be laughing? Excuse me. Mr. Messier also mentioned people giving big offerings. And so let me ask, what is the size of your offering today? So if we took all the envelopes and I took them up here and I cracked them open and I read the amount that you gave today, would we judge it to be an incredible offering, a medium-sized offering, or a trivial offering? And does the Bible provide any way to think about this? And of course it does, otherwise I wouldn't have asked the question. If you'd like to turn over to Mark 12, and we'll read verses 41 through 44. Mark 12, verse 41 says, "Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw people put money in the treasury." So what do you think? Is this happening right now? Is Jesus Christ watching us as we give our offerings? Continuing in verse 41, "And many who were rich put in much." And then what happens? Verse 42, "Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrans." Verse 43, "So he called his disciples to himself." So try to picture this event. Christ is watching people make offerings. And there are a lot of rich people that walk up and put in a lot of money. And there's one poor widow who contributes a trivial amount of money. And hers was the trivial offering, right? Maybe not. What did Jesus do as he watched these things? He gathers his disciples together, and he teaches them, and he teaches us how to value and what to value. Mark 12, verse 43, Jesus said, "This poor widow has put in more than all, for they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty." So the widow's contribution was tiny in financial measures, but that's not how God measures things. Christ said it was actually trivial was the amount that the rich people offered. They offered out of their abundance, and it was easy for them to do. So the lesson is that when it comes to things like offerings, it is not the amount that is most important. It's the heart and the motivation that causes us to choose the amount. As our booklets and Q&A in the Bible itself demonstrate, we are commanded to make a financial offering today. Is the money the most important offering we will make today, or another holy day, or any day? The purpose of my message today is to remind us that it is not. The purpose of this message is to remind us of this. We have an explicit, unambiguous obligation to give more than money, on more than just the holy days, and to more than just those who love us or whom we love. So let me repeat it. We are commanded and obligated to give more than just money, on more than just the holy days, to more than just the people we like, or just the people we love, or just the people who love us. So what do we owe, and to whom? Point number one. Point number one is we are obligated to give more than just holy day offerings to God. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Hebrews 13, verse 15. It says, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Someone once said that God gave you 86,420 seconds today. Have you used one of them to say thank you? So have we. Another person said, most people have an almost infinite capacity for taking things for granted. So what do we take for granted? Who do we take for granted? It's easy to not value our time, to not value our friends, to not value the church. It's easy to not value almost anything. Let us not do that. Let us commit to offering to God what we owe him, which is continual thanks for everything. Point number two, we are obligated to offer to God more than just words. James 2, verse 15 and 16 remind us how unprofitable just words can be. James 2, verse 15 says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? So why do we offer today? Why do we give tithes? Because as long as we are physical, physical things are needed. If you don't believe it, try to get a booklet printed without money. Try to rent a hall without money. Try to do anything without money. Try saying, booklet, print thyself. I promise you that will be unprofitable. Point number three. What are we obligated to offer those in the church? What do we owe one another? We owe each other a lot. And we heard about one example on the Passover. And every Passover we hear, you should not take the Passover if you have a grudge against someone. So why do we say that? What is it that would be so offensive to God about being unforgiving that would make it, if you did that, to take the Passover in an unworthy manner? And the answer is easy. What is the Passover about? What does it picture? It pictures someone else paying the price for everything you and I have ever done wrong. The sins that we have committed against God are immeasurably greater than the sins any of us have had committed by someone against us. Matthew 18, verse 21. Nobody can say there's not some humor in the Bible. Matthew 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? So Peter's thinking, surely there has to be a limit. Like, how much can you take from one person? Matthew 18, verse 22. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. So Christ said what? He said, you aren't even close. Seven times in a day is not even close to the obligation you have to forgive others. And brethren, this is the season of forgiveness. We are reminded through the Passover and the days of unleavened bread that we are obligated to give sincerity. Sincere and outgoing love, sincere and outgoing concern, and sincere and outgoing forgiveness. Point number four. What are we obligated to give those outside the church? Matthew 5, verse 16. Matthew 5, verse 16. It says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your God in heaven." And notice what Christ does not say. He doesn't say, "Think about doing this if you feel like it." He says, "Do it. Make it happen." So how should we live our lives? Christ says our lives should be so full of good works that are so obvious and so compelling that people are compelled to glorify God because of it. Our examples are an offering that we make to those outside the church and to those inside the church. Our example matters. Our example should be inspiring. And for those of us in San Diego, can you think of any inspiring examples from the Passover? I didn't get permission to use his name, so I won't mention that I'm talking about Mr. Sage. Maybe I will. Mrs. Sage provided an obvious example of love and service. Mr. Sage provided an obvious example of hope and faith. Right? Examples matter. I also won't mention Hank Rice. Maybe I will. Hank was clearly in a lot of pain. And he had a long drive, and he had a lot of pain, and he was at the Passover. To me, and I suspect to everybody that was there, those offerings are far greater than any financial offering we will make today. Brethren, we are commanded to make a financial offering, and we must not leave this undone. But let's be frank, it is the least significant of all the offerings we're commanded to make. Instead of going through life thinking about what others have done to us or what others owe us, let us think about what we owe others. I think Ben Franklin summarized this as well as anybody. And Ben Franklin said this: "The best thing to give your enemy is forgiveness, to an opponent tolerance, to a friend your heart, to a child a good example, to a father deference, to your mother conduct that will make her proud of you, to yourself respect, to all men charity." So let me ask the question again. What size of offering are you going to make? Will you give trivial thanks or trivial forgiveness? Or will we follow example of the one poor widow and give all that we can? And let us remember, Christ is watching.